The Antioch Podcast.
Conversations about biblical anti-racism.
Have mercy.
Let me say it one more time.
The Antioch Podcast.
The Antioch Podcast is a ministry of Preach System.
Oh, I got Jesus, yay.
Hello, welcome to the Antioch Podcast, conversations about biblical anti-racism. My name is Eric Nykamp. The Antioch Podcast takes its name from the ancient city of Antioch, the first multi-ethnic church mentioned in the Bible in Acts 11. Because they had no single ethnic identifier, Romans who mocked followers of the way in Antioch called them little Christs or Christians. A name which those early believers soon adopted as a badge of pride. Because of Antioch's location on what became known as the Silk Road, Christians in Antioch were instrumental in spreading Christianity throughout the world for centuries. Our podcast is hosted by a multicultural team of Christian anti-racism educators and friends, and biblical anti-racism is the starting point of all our conversations. Let's go now and listen to today's conversation.
Hello. Today on the Antioch Podcast, we are answering the question, what is biblical about anti-racism? You know, in all our conversations, we believe that representation matters. So we're going to take just a moment to introduce the members of our multi-ethnic team that are gathered around the microphone today. As we go around, we will each share our name and racial ethnic identifier so you'll know who we are. I'll get us started with the introduction, and after all the introductions, I'll jump back in to get today's conversation started. So here we go. Hello again. I'm Michelle, and I identify as an African-American woman.
And my name's Eric. I identify as a white man.
I'm Reggie Smith, and I identify as an African-American male.
I'm Xiao Chang, but I always go by my last name, Chang, and I identify as a Chinese-Canadian.
I'm Hannah, and I identify as a white woman.
Well, thank you all for joining us around the mic today. Let's get to today's question. What is biblical about anti-racism? And I'd like to open our discussion by first acknowledging that our tagline for the podcast is Conversations on Biblical Anti-Racism. So, spoiler alert, we are leaning towards, yes, anti-racism is biblical. But we do believe that this is a conversation worthy of having. So, here we are. And just as a starting point, I want to share just a brief definition of anti-racism. Anti-racism is the active effort to identify, challenge, and change racism in individuals, institutions, and society. Unlike simply being not racist, anti-racism emphasizes taking steps to reduce racial discrimination and to promote equal opportunity. Practicing anti-racism can show up in a number of ways, but at its core, anti-racism is generally understood as the intentional effort to oppose racism and to promote racial equity and fairness. I like to put that emphasis on intentional, but that's me, and we'll jump into more about that for the conversation. You know, Chang, before we started recording, you shared some wonderings about the word biblical, and if that is appropriate in this conversation. So would you mind sharing some of those again?
Yeah, sure. I think ideally the word biblical should mean that it's something that is that aligns with the overall direction, overall spirit and posture what the Bible is teaching and telling us, right? But I find that so often these days, some Christians use the word biblical to sort of be like code for my view is correct and yours is wrong. biblical is, you know, my view has biblical authority and implying that yours don't, right? And I think that's where I have the little bit of hesitancy sometimes with how people use biblical these days. Mm-hmm. It should be more than just that you could find it in scripture, so to speak, or find a Bible verse that you can use to justify what your position is. I do think that biblical in its original ideal sense should be, well, as I said, aligning with the overall direction and overall teaching of the Bible.
Yeah, John, I really do appreciate the, it should be more than just we find these words in the Bible. Right. Should be something to be lived out. Hannah or Reggie or Eric, do you have any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I can jump in. I totally agree with Chung that it's got to be something that aligns with the Bible, but also with the values of the Bible, and not just, you know, cherry pick or use it as proof text, to, as Chung was saying, just to prove your side, but mm-hmm. but align with the bottom theme of, and I'm thinking of Exodus. Mm-hmm. Exodus is about slavery and about freedom, and God is concerned about the Israelites who were in Egypt, and they were, it's in the line, they were oppressed by their slave masters, and they felt oppression, and God heard their cry. Wow. That's right out of the Bible. And so God is concerned about how people are treated and how he intervenes and brings in this thing called freedom under his conditions. And so when we think about that as more than just an individual thing, but rather a system thing, a cultural thing, everything is all connected to that. And you just can't draw just one thing, but rather how does a system keeps people down? And how does power operate that keeps people down?
That's good. Hannah, are there any other biblical scriptures, passages, or principles that come to mind when you think about anti-racism and you're making a determination, does something align with your understanding of the Bible or it doesn't?
I think when we talk about anti-racism and we talk about intentionality and not just being a passive, I don't think racism is good, but the active striving to eliminate things such as racism, I think there's a lot of action takers throughout scripture in the Bible who take stands, who take actions, often risking and sacrificing and doing something that's countercultural in a lot of ways. And I think anti-racism in the large part is countercultural because we're choosing to draw attention to something that can exist insidiously in a lot of ways in our larger systems and structures. Mm-hmm. So I think in the sense of biblical figures, biblical stories, and the larger themes of scripture, people who take action and often countercultural or anti-systemic action is something that we see a lot throughout scripture, and also makes the work of anti-racism something that aligns with a lot of biblical principles and biblical ideas. So that's what I think of, like stories like Esther, like where she's risking a lot to call out like a failing of the system, where somebody who's choosing to manipulate and skew things to eliminate people groups. And she's choosing to intentionally walk into a situation and use her power to ideally affect change for a large group of people, but has no idea how that's going to work for her. I think of just a lot of the stories where people are choosing to take action and being intentional about it, and not just passively hoping that things get better over time. And I think that that's when we think about the intention of anti-racism, that's how that aligns biblically. Those are some of the stories that come to mind. It doesn't have to be specifically racism mm-hmm. to be in line with a lot of the themes that scripture brings to us.
Right, right. I so agree with that. Eric?
Yeah, I want to jump on that idea about like racism specifically, because racism isn't actually mentioned in scripture, because it was more of an American construction, a way that in the American context, we started talking about difference primarily in terms of skin color, and where people originated from, mm-hmm. but people who were different in scripture, that is a theme throughout all of scripture, is like the idea of insiders and outsiders and how God talks about people who are insiders and people who are outsiders, and what are the ways that we need to treat human beings in general, but people made in the image of God in particular. And those ideas in the Old Testament and their development in the New Testament have some really interesting foundational ideas that we probably don't have time to get all the way into. But one of the ways that in kind of the hyper-political context that we find ourselves right now, I find it interesting to look at books that people were writing in, say, the 80s and 90s, to look at before some of this stuff got politicized, how did people read scripture? I have one right here called The Topical Analysis of the Bible. It's like 600 pages long. And there's a section in here on what are the responsibilities towards aliens and foreigners. And the topic headings are completely clear all the way through. That's like, God loves foreigners. God wants foreigners to be treated as equals. God wants foreigners to be treated with a sense of justice and fairness and all these sorts of things. And there's just like listing all the scriptures, not as proof texts, but as thematic passages. And that these kinds of ideas about equality, justice, fairness, economic justice, what good leadership looks like when you are in power, to treat people who do not have a lot of power. These are the ideas that undergird ideas of fairness, equity, that we lump into ideas about conversations about racism and anti-racism. And what it means in many cases to be an anti-racist is to be a follower of Christ who didn't follow the ways of the world. Mm-hmm.
You know, Eric, I hear that, and I agree. The last statement he just made, though, to be an anti-racist is to be a follower of Christ. We are all anti-racism, diversity, educators, professionals, writers, authors, lived experiences, and I will speak for myself because I'm learning not to speak for other people, but I have experienced pushback in this climate about why are you all paying attention to that? You're being divisive by calling out racism or saying something is racist. If you're really a Christian, you would talk about unity and love.
And kumbaya.
And kumbaya. So how I know how it makes me feel, and you can probably hear it in my voice, how it makes me feel. But how does it make you feel when you hear people or you read articles that are pushing back on this idea of anti-racism is something that Christians should have a position on? And I'm not talking about in the way that Chung was wondering if biblical was the proper term for it, right? Because I think he's nuanced that to say, well, actually, when people say biblical, they often mean something else. So I'm not saying that. I'm just the idea of that Christians somehow should be running in the opposite direction of anti-racism. And Chong, you're nodding your head vigorously, so I'm going to ask, what are you thinking about?
I agree with you, Michelle. I agree that there are people who push back on it. For various reasons. And yeah, I like the idea of how Eric ended with saying that, you know, we are followers of Christ. It is something that falls out of that, of following Jesus. Because one of the other flip side of, you know, this whole biblical adjective conversation is that sometimes I read before somewhere people were saying things like, you know, you could justify slavery from the Bible, right? Mm-hmm. So slavery could be quote unquote biblical. Mm. But then the question, of course, is it Christ-like? Right? Is it Christ-like? Right? So that's sort of, right. And that's leading to what Eric was saying, right? It flows out of our following of Jesus. To answer your question, Michelle, I want to think that sometimes people who may push back, I don't know how closely they read the scriptures at times, or how much they embody the scripture as a whole, the full mm-hmm. story of scripture and the depth of scripture. As Reggie has already hinted at too, you could always cherry pick things out. Yeah. In fragments or out of context or whatever to support whatever position you hold, as the slaveholders did in the past, right? Mm-hmm. With slavery. But I think we know that the biblical trajectory, so to speak, the whole Bible's overall values and posture and spirit does not allow us to treat other image bearers of God in that way, or to teach any image bearers of God less, as well as to have systems or, you know, structures that perpetuate kind of discrimination, first class, second class citizens, so to speak, of all those who are image bearers of God, who are those who are children of God, right? So whatever race, colors, or whatever it is, ethnicity or culture that they are from. So that's why I was kind of nodding in agreement with you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. And we shouldn't be surprised that there is resistance. Resistance is always a sign that you're either fighting for something that is worth fighting for, and other people oppose it because they have also self-interest behind it as well. I mean, it makes sense that Pharaoh was very interested in not letting the slaves go in Egypt. He had building projects that he had going on, and he needed some labor to help to make it happen. And so that was a 400 year thing. And there were a whole lot of people who were tied to that in the Egyptian economy and in the Egyptian culture. And so when God intervenes and hears their cry, that was not what they wanted. It interrupted almost a monopoly of being an empire. And so we see resistance as that's part of it. I mean, you think of the Civil War, both the North and the South read the Bible. Both the South and the North believed in God. Both the South and the North believed that their position was right. And it was not, Jamar Tisby did a really good job of reading the Confederate Constitution. And the main thing that it said was, God ordained slavery. And so there's always going to be that tension and conflict that happens among Christians, because we're not reading scripture in the same room. And that prevents us from being rubbed up against. That prevents us from hearing other people. That prevents us from being curious. It prevents us to say, oh, maybe there's something of value here that I should be paying attention to.
Reggie, you know, when I'm thinking about like what's remarkable about Christianity is that Jesus quite often would ask us not to say like, look at the sin in other people, but consider the sin in yourself.
Right.
And you know, to,
in your eye.
Yes. Mm. And, you know, how many of us, one of our regular sins is selfishness? I mean, when we talk about power and the abuse of power, it is selfishness, right? At its root. And to serve oneself, to say that my neighbor are only the people that share the diversity characteristics that are like me and that I value. Right. And to say those are my people. The more we start doing insider-outsider stuff and thinking that insiders are perfect and outsiders are not, that goes against just fundamental ideas about the Bible, is that within each of us is a sinful person. Exactly. And that it takes work and commitment and humility to say, this is the seed of sin in my life, and I need to work hard to uproot it, and then to go after all those little tendrils and roots that still have a place in me so it doesn't regerminate. And that's hard.
That's hard.
That's hard. That's why I'm so glad this is not an episode on being pro-racist. that would not be the show I would want to be on, but
no, I wouldn't be here.
but we somehow practice that in a way when we're not together, struggling with scripture, struggling with our own stuff. And what happens is when there could be a breakthrough, there could be a moment where God speaks in a way that gets at all of us. They'll say, how do we become more and more like Jesus? And it's hard.
It's hard. And just today, I was telling my daughter, I said, I think I kind of stirred a pot a little bit without intending to stir the pot. I'll just be very general. You know, our church had made an announcement that someone was going to be coming to our church to speak on a particular social issue. And so I was trying to brag about, oh, look what our church is doing. So sent it to a group of friends. Oh, and I got an immediate response. It's like, you better watch out for that person. They say they're coming in the name of the Lord. But these are some of the things that they said. And let's just say that some of the things that this person has said would not be the way that my church would say that we demonstrate Christ. And so, and I said, I don't think the person who invited knew, right? We see Christian working in this area, making the rounds to different churches to talk about this issue. But, you know, Reggie, like you said, both the North and the South believed in God and were using the scripture to promote their thing. So that just shows how, as Christians, as followers of Christ, we need to be very careful about, it's going to sound bad, but we need to be very careful about just welcoming anybody who says they're coming in the name of the Lord.
Right.
We need to use discernment and really see what scripture texts are they using? What overarching principles? Because it's not just the text, because we can justify anything with the Bible, but what is the overall arc? Does it hang together with the larger message that we say God is inviting us into, this larger narrative of reconciliation, anti-oppression, justice? Right. Those who have should be generous to support those who have not, to welcome and love and make room for the foreigner. In fact, treat them better than you treat yourselves. Right. Is that part of the overall message, or is the message that you're coming with, God has ordained certain people to be the privileged? And so they have lordship over all the people who are not like Christ. So you can't see them on air, but I'm using air quotes here, right? Those who, the savages, that's who some people are ordained to make sure to keep those people in check and to bring the message of Christ to them as if they have not been introduced to God before. So we have to be very careful. And I think that's part of the reason this question about is anti-racism biblical, or what's biblical about anti-racism, can get contentious, because people are coming to the table with different ideas of what's biblical, what's related to the Bible, and what is anti-racism actually trying to do? Is it trying to liberate people, or is it trying to take privilege from some people?
I think if more Christians were aware of the stories in the book of Acts as well, that we wouldn't lose that point, because the whole point in some ways of the Holy Spirit dominant portions of scripture is that Christianity transitioned from being a religion primarily understood by Jews to becoming a religion that was primarily ran by Gentiles, so people who had no idea of what it meant to be a Jew, and that this transitional movement from people who saw themselves as insiders and essentially gave away their power, and it became a worldwide movement that had ethnic iterations throughout the known world at the time. We cease to have imagination about that because I think people have a lot of unfamiliarity with that. The history of Western art actually doesn't help that very much, because we kind of downplay the ethnic pieces that are embedded in scripture because we don't know how to tease that out very well. And there are scholars who are really good at doing that. That would be an important place to look if you are looking for what does the church mean in this present context, in a multi-ethnic context.
Yeah. Go ahead, Hannah.
I also want to say one more thing, as I know we're getting close to wrapping up, which is that for people who are questioning whether anti-racism is a good choice of word because it's against something, and we don't like divisive, dividing words because we'd rather be for something, I also think it's important to be clear about what we're standing against and not just trying to focus on unity without focusing on the thing that's dividing us.
Yeah.
Because I think we sometimes get lost in the trying to find unity so much that we try to band-aid over whatever it is that's dividing us to begin with, and trying to say that we can just move on easily. And so I think anti-racism is as important as a term as things like unity and reconciliation. I think we need strong language and strong terms to be clear about the fact that this is not going to just go away if we reconcile and shake hands and say it's okay. Jesus used strong language. He flipped tables. He told the Pharisees and the Sadducees exactly what he thought of them. Sometimes he used parables, but he also wasn't shy.
You vipers.
He wasn't shy about being divisive sometimes, about saying, no, you're wrong, and you're not good, and I don't like you, and I'd rather sit with people that you've ostracized because I prefer them, and I want to spread love to them and spend time with them because y'all are doing something that is not okay. So I think sometimes our image of Jesus is like this loving, caring peacemaker gets in the way of the fact that Jesus was also strong-willed, strong language. I'm going to tell you how it is. And he did not sit with the Pharisees and sing kumbaya with them. He was like, no, this is bad. This is wrong. You're not okay. This isn't okay. And sometimes I think we want to just be the loving people who don't say things that could be divisive, but the divisive part is important sometimes to use strong language when we're fighting something as strong as racism. So that's the only thing that I want to say to people who are maybe concerned about the anti part of anti-racism.
Hannah, thank you so much. I think you make a very good point. And to our listeners, thank you for listening. I hope that there is more that you want to talk about on this issue and that you will keep the conversation going. But sincerely, thank you for listening to this episode of the Antioch Podcast. You know, we do this because we pray that these conversations about biblical anti-racism and other things of social justice will inspire you to live countercultural lives, right? To be like Christ, to be like Jesus, to flip some tables every now and then, that our actions would be marked with both justice and mercy. And not to forget that while we're doing so, to walk humbly with God in the process. If you like this episode, don't forget to like and subscribe. Until next time, keep the faith and keep fighting for justice. This has been the Antioch Podcast.
you've been listening to the Antioch Podcast, Conversations about Biblical Anti-Racism. You can help us by spreading the word about the Antioch Podcast, by praying for us, sharing this episode on your social media, writing us a review, or supporting us financially by clicking on the support link on our website, www.antiochpodcast.org. Music, editing, and production of the Antioch Podcast provided by Eric Nykamp. Thanks for listening, and thank you for your support.